You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
At Hassle Cattle Company this Thanksgiving, turkey is out, beef is in. Hassle Cattle is giving our amazing listeners a holiday special with 15% off your entire purchase at hasslecattlecompany.com. Use the code DNVR15 at hasslecattlecompany.com. Get 15% off your entire purchase. There's nothing better than delicious Wagyu beef as a holiday gift. Serve this up for Thanksgiving, treat your guests right, or you can send this to family and friends for a unique and unforgettable Christmas gift. It will definitely be unforgettable. Use the code DNVR15 at checkout at hasslecattlecompany.com for 15% off your entire order. Also, if you order over $200 in Hassle Cattle Company, you're going to get free shipping. Again, that's code DNVR15 at hasslecattlecompany.com. They've got the best Wagyu beef around. They've got everything from smoked sausage to New York strip to bacon to Wagyu Franks. They've got everything. Use the code DNVR15 for 15% off your order at hasslecattlecompany.com.
Yo, the bar cleared out pretty fast tonight.
Very, very quickly.
Pretty quick.
What is up, everybody, and welcome into the Losers Lounge.
I got nothing for you.
You're gonna have to muster it up. Buck up, fellas.
I got nothing for you if you're looking for like a sire.
Buck up, because you know we got to get through this. Nuggets win 5 games in a row. They dropped 5 games in a row here to even things out. Of course, this last 5 games, a little cursed. It feels a little cursed. We're gonna have to get into all that. First, we're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Would have hit a huge parlay tonight. Would have been a great one, but PJ Dozier goes down. All I needed was one PJ Dozier three.
You put PJ Dozier 3 in your parlay?
Oh, that's how I got odds on it. First of all,
I'm sorry for you, man.
He has a 3 in exactly 50% of his games. So it was really a 50-50. Okay. All my other parlays hit like immediately, but PJ Dozier goes down. I got Harrison Wind here with me.
Is this team cursed? Maybe we'll discuss that tonight.
I think it's the main topic of discussion that I don't see. You know, I'm a man of logic, but I don't see any other way. We're going to have to get into it. I got Superstar Dev over here.
The answer is yes. Yes, they are cursed. Things are just not well. Jokic, please come back.
Please come back. We're begging you. You're watching the show. I know you are. Please come back to us. Both of you guys had brothers tonight here.
Wait, your brother is here?
Yeah, my brother came.
Oh. I didn't know you had a brother.
I didn't know you had a brother. I really didn't know you had a brother. It was very shocking. My brother is a guy that just does not come out at all, and he's like, hey, I'm going to come down tonight. I'm like,
well, he picked a bad night to come to the bar.
No, he's a down person, so he probably
he's like, always those type of chill. Yeah.
He's a down person.
A lot of like, space to just
Halloween
keep
vibes around there. Yeah. I like that place a lot.
Yeah. Halloween vibes. Look who guys just popped in. It's voting time. Brendan votes here.
Hey, fellas. What a game. Are you guys having fun breaking this down?
We are.
We're about to start, actually. So
okay.
I don't even know where to start, to be honest with you. Part
do
of
you
me
want to start with vote? What Malone had to say?
Should we start with that? Okay, well, I guess we'll start
I don't know.
With
he's
that.
Here.
Yeah, you are here. Did you take... you were gone for like 30 seconds. Did you take a lot of notes here?
I did take some notes.
Loquacious, was he?
Michael Malone, not as pleased tonight. We had our whole bit about his demeanor and staying positive. He dropped the hammer tonight, fellas. First of all, housekeeping, no update on PJ Dozier, so that's cool. But yeah, he didn't love the turnovers. First quarter was really bad. Second quarter got much better until the last 2 minutes of that second quarter, the 18-3 run.
That was so ridiculous, man.
Everything that was working for us to that point went out the window. And then all of a sudden we became a selfish team, which led to more turnovers again. And that's where we lost the game. trying to tell our guys right now, quote, don't get bored of success. If something is working, stay with it. Of course, he's talking about process, not results, when he says success. Because there hasn't been much of that lately.
I felt like for a time tonight, I thought this loss could be, we gave great effort, we showed a great fight. There was a portion of tonight.
Oh, definitely.
Even into the second half.
Even into the third quarter. Yeah.
It was the turnover.
I actually. Maybe even into the fourth quarter.
I was going to say, I'll go further. I actually think it was only that second quarter one. Because the other moments where the Blazers pulled away.
Yeah.
You know, Simons hit some tough shots. You know what I mean? Like,
Anthony Simons.
Like, yeah, but you know what? Denver's like, they had a hold of the rope for most of it.
Yeah.
But they gave up an 18-3 run. And no matter what you do besides that, I mean, what did they lose by tonight? 19 points?
19.
So 18-point run, that was the game right there. And
yeah,
those other moments you can survive or you get lucky or whatever.
This game was kind of close to being another we fought.
It was turnovers that cost them the game. It was turnovers that set Malone over the edge. And that's a little bit predictable because it's a lesson they've already learned this year. It cost them. They cut back on those. They started winning. And so, I mean, I think the reason he feels upset tonight is because maybe unlike some of those other games, this was like a winnable game for a while. And I know that big stretch put it away, really, and put it past the reach in the second half. But that could have been eliminated, is I think Malone's point.
Yeah, and then when you know that you're playing without your best player and also, you know, in Jokic, every single possession counts. Every single you have to be flawless. You have to be spotless. And they went on an 18-3 run. So in a game that you're supposed to take care of the ball, that's how you stay close. You give up an 18-3 run, and not only are you giving up a big run, but you're turning the ball over, and then they're going on a run. So there was no winning in that, and you had to know that Malone was going to be upset.
And also, I think I know Michael Malone pretty well after these 7 years, or during these 7 years. I think what happened at the end of the game, and we'll probably talk about that, I think his blood is boiling because of that one play that I'm sure we'll get to at the end of the game. And he always places, like, a lot of importance on how everybody on his bench plays, even the guys that come in at the very end of the game.
It's a culture, man.
It's a culture thing. It's something that he's always been about for 7 years now, and I've got to think that really pissed him off, to be totally honest.
Just realized I'm chewing gum for this right now.
Yeah,
how unprofessional.
I mean, it feels appropriate, to be honest with you. Doesn't it feel appropriate right now?
Yeah, it feels like we're in a dugout.
It does feel like we're in a dugout.
Last note, any positives to take away? That question was interrupted. No, none. We got our asses kicked again. There are no excuses. No
love for Uncle Jeff?
No moral victories. Quick aside, it's morale victories, right? That everyone's trying to say, but they say moral victories.
I think it's moral victories.
That's the that's like how it's said, but does that make any sense?
Wouldn't
it be
moral? That's a good point, actually.
No.
What's the moral victory?
Well, the moral is the lesson that you learn. No, I guess that's true.
But your morale is what you're keeping up. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, but it's a moral victory, not an ethical
victory.
You're right.
All right. I don't know.
I can kind of see where Vogt's coming from.
I just a thought I had while waiting for Malone to finish yelling at everyone.
Really deep in your thoughts.
Can I tell you something? Can I interject here?
Yeah.
So I've been yelled at by Michael Malone a few times. Maybe not yelled at, but this or that. But only one other coach has ever Do you guys?
I remember. I was there.
Do you remember why? So it was.
Yeah, I remember. Of course,
it was Kevin McHale.
Of course, I remember.
And his team had a ton of injuries.
You earned this.
Did I? But here's
the thing. I thought it was a good.
So whoever asked this question earned it. So they had gone through a ton of injuries. They were like 4 and they were supposed to. The Rockets were supposed to be very good that year, but they were like 4-7 or something, 4-8. And I asked him, "Is there any good lessons you can take away from being shorthanded? But like, is there anything you learned about your team?" And he freaked out about it. He shut down the whole presser. He walked off. He got so mad, and then he was fired like 3 days later.
Yep,
he was fired. So I'm not saying history is going to repeat himself with Malone. But it is one of those. This is the thing. Coaches hate. That is a fair question, in my opinion.
I mean, it's a good question.
It is
actually
a fair question. Like, is there some? Because honestly, this is a question.
If he's in a different mood, he gives you a great answer.
If there was practice on Thursday, it's Thanksgiving. There won't be. But if there was practice on Thursday, and you go there and you say, "Hey, like, Aaron Gordon's really started to, you know, spread his wings a little bit here. Is that a thing that carries over?
Jeff Green looking good.
You know, are there some things?" And then he answers it honestly. But you ask him here, he's feeling all the pressure. He's feeling all this. He freaks out.
Look, you've got Jokic injured. Michael Porter, who the hell even knows what's going on with him? PJ Dozier goes out tonight. Bones Highland is out. You've lost 5 in a row for the first time since the 2016-17 season. Like, you're down bad. You know, yeah. You're feeling the pressure. And you're a 500 team right now. You're in the play-in currently.
And I think like that Bulls game, he goes, wow, you guys competed, almost won that game. DeRozan hit 6 free throws down the stretch. Job well done. Tonight, it's, hey, man, you guys threw that one away. I know we're used to, oh, the other team has more talent, blah, 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 blah. But at a certain point, Malone has to start coaching again and being about execution. And I think he picked a good spot because, again, it wasn't the effort. It was the turnovers. And, yes, all the guys were out. But they could have been in that game had they not sort of let go of the rope. So I get it. And we know he's going against the grain of his nature every time he comes out and tries to hand out those moral victories. So this was coming eventually.
Here's the big takeaway, though, because we'll get to a lot of the other things that happen. The Nuggets are not just shorthanded because the Jokic. Every single game right now, it seems like they lose somebody.
Another
and
person.
Tonight, yeah. PJ Dozier goes down in the second quarter, I believe. Maybe it was first quarter, but early in
I
the
think
game.
Second.
Maybe second. And the way he fell, you know, some injuries, you're like, man, let's hope for good news. Let's hope for this. And of course, they're still like, Nuggets don't have it. At first, they listed him as questionable, like he might return or something before ruling him out.
He was not questionable. Never questionable.
Yeah, I don't think he was ever. I don't think he was either. He came down and it looked really bad. It didn't look like your typical, you know, it didn't look like, to me, it looked like, oh, something has to be torn there. And the fact that he could not even stand up to walk out, he had to be carried out by, I think, Vlatko Chantra. I can't remember who else was trying.
Good thing they called him up for the G League.
Yeah, just for that. Yeah, we need it. Honestly, I really worry about PJ Dozier because as much as he has had an up and down, mostly down season, so has that entire bench, I do think that he's a talented player that is easily, in my opinion, easily. Even you talk about that second unit, who are some guys that Jamichael Green to me, we'll talk about him a little bit later. Maybe he's not a guy that deserves a spot. PJ Dozier's bad as he was, I'm still like, yeah, they need him. Like, whatever it is, they need him.
PJ Dozier. This might sound crazy. It might not. He might be more of a playoff player than a regular season player just because the bench has been so bad and he's kind of a weird fit with that group they've got on the bench.
100%. 100%.
And you can totally see how he would be so valuable in a playoff environment because you play the bench less and he'd be playing with the starters more and he's such a good defender that you could use him. So if he's out for the year, it's a huge loss.
And also, Zeke just got back. So you can slot PJ back to 3 now and not 4. He just had to go through that again.
Not to mention, and we're going to get to this in a little bit, but Zeke's been playing well. Like,
I like how
they're
he's
trying to start figuring out who are the guys who are not the guys with that second unit. And I honestly think they were getting closer and closer to figuring it out. And PJ could be a huge part of that. For him to go down tonight on a game that just didn't, like, it's not that Malone shouldn't have rested PJ Dozier, but on a night that was like, it didn't matter, the game doesn't matter, this or that, it's painful, man, because he's a piece.
Yeah, and a big thing of what you just said is that it was a game that really didn't mean much. Heading into the season, that was a big emphasis for Coach Malone was PJ Dozier's health.
Right.
He brought it up on multiple occasions when just talking about, you know, the team. And then also you have to remember that PJ Dozier is playing out of position. This is a guy that's just kind of doing whatever the team needs. And he's a, you know, like, he's a big guard, but he's also now playing at the wing and the power forward at times, and he's not those things.
Right.
So this is a guy that's doing whatever he has to and trying as hard as he could to just basically fill this void for the Nuggets, and he hasn't been playing to his up to par or whatever to how he's supposed to be playing because he's playing out of position.
I've seen 2 tweets from Nuggets players for, like, pray for PJ Dozier.
Yeah, me too.
Already.
Not
so that sucks.
That really sucks. Well, sucks, guys, man. Don't forget, I mean, on a personal level, he's in a contract year.
Oh, it's terrible.
PJ Dozier has never brought... No, look, he's not going to go hungry. Like, he's made a little bit of money in his... But he's never had that big contract. That was coming up for him, where he got the little bit of stability, which for him...
I mean, how much did we talk about that leading up to the season?
Of course. And this was a year... And by the way, his health was a thing, but this was the year that you would expect he could sign a 3-year, $10 million deal. That's enough money that's like, hey, whatever else happens in your life, really, or your career... You're going to be okay. So for that to kind of have to, like, kind of flash before him, hopefully there's good news.
Yeah.
And this isn't as bad as it certainly appears to be. But from the Nuggets perspective, there's just no question to me that you looked at the emergence of a Jeff Green. You look at the Zeke Nagy starting to come in. Bones Highland, we think, can be a player. Even, guys, shout out, Faku's been playing better lately. Honestly,
sure.
Like, he's actually had more good games than bad games over the last 5.
Third game I have noticed now where Faku and Zeke play together.
Right.
And between the two of them, it looks better.
Right, right. So there were some things happening with that second unit, and I really think PJ Dozier could have had a part of it. So it's just really, to me, it's a big loss. It's a really it's a really unfortunate another loss, another layer to all of this for Denver. Might not show up immediately into like the regular season, but as you mentioned, I do think their best form featured him as part of a rotation.
Definitely, yeah. Oh
my God.
It's rough, man.
It's so dark, dude.
It's rough. Let's before we take our first break, let's get to the bowl thing. Actually, do you have the clip, Kale? Is Kale not there?
I think I missed this live.
I think everybody on the internet has retweeted it. So just look at the internet.
It.
Yeah, you can look at Dev. He retweeted a clip of it. The final, like, Bowl doesn't play. We thought, as shorthanded as they were, maybe he'll get into the game, maybe he won't. Tonight, he doesn't. He's not really in the rotation. He goes out there, he throws a behind-the-back pass that's kind of like a – it was unnecessary. It's kind of like a little dinker. It wasn't even like a good behind-the-back pass.
Yeah.
And then on the following possession – guys running down. Who was it, by the way? Do you know?
Greg Brown.
Who's going down. He goes for the dunk. And look, I don't know if something was said on the court, like, let me have this one or what. But Bull just stops running. He could
have. Let me have this one.
I'm saying the way he stopped.
I know.
Isn't that what it looked like?
It's like an all-star game where you want to, like, not hurt somebody and you get.
Play this clip here because this is going to be, look, he just stops. He says, go for it, man. Do your thing. There you go. And it's hard to see from this clip. Look, Austin Rivers gets up and is like, yo, what the hell?
Austin Rivers gets up and leaves the floor.
Say what you will about Austin Rivers. He understands the unwritten rules of a team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he understands. Like, he's brought this stuff up before. Who was it? Oh, Jamal Murray when he was at the Suns and Four Guys party or whatever.
Yeah.
And he hopped on Instagram and he's like, hey, man, that's not it. I'm going to DM you and explain why this could be seen, as it was by all of us, as like a huge slap in the face.
Hops to the on very Instagram people, to DM somebody.
To the very people who are your biggest supporters, it can feel like a slap in the face. You know that this is like, first of all, this is a terrible look. I would not be surprised. I agree with you, by the way. Malone upset at the end of this game. That play happened. I'm sure it was like a volcano.
That might be why he was like stewing.
Well, Adam, I think he would have been mad either way, but I think that one was like, he's not going to sleep tonight.
If you look at this play, it also happens right in front of Michael Malone.
Of course it does.
So that just compounds the issue.
Here,
he saw it happen right in front of him.
About asking Bull, hey, can I have this one? He might just say, yeah. It's a sound strategy.
Oh, of course.
I would do that in a second quarter.
Bull doesn't understand, like, from watching him, it really doesn't seem like he understands, like, how this whole thing works.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't understand. Jeff, and by the way, Stan Van Gundy was great on the call tonight, in particular.
Very good.
A couple of key moments, but one of them was that one right there where he's like, you have to understand when you're an end-of-the-bench player that every second you're on the court,
every second,
everybody is watching you and judging you, not just the Nuggets players who are your teammates, not just the Nuggets coaches who determine if you're going to play or not, but any team that would ever pick you up.
Totally.
That one now makes the real, and it's like, do we want a guy that does this? Hell no.
Yeah, so a lot of the conversation around Bowl is, why is he not playing more? He has so much potential. This is a guy that should be playing. And now if you're another team or you're another fan base, you go to those type of minutes. The little minutes that you see Bobo play, he's pouting. He's giving up on plays. So like you said, this was a tryout type of moment for him. It's a nationally televised game. You're like, hey, what can Bobo do? What are things that we could see from him? Right now, I would say he's not a locker room guy. He's not a guy that you could bring around and build up the culture. He's not a guy that's going to work extremely hard with all of these talents and, you know, just intangibles. He's 7'11".
Right.
You know, like, he has everything, and then he has those type of lapses in the game where it's like, okay, how are so many people defending you when you give us those type of moments?
Yeah, I've been tough on Bull, but I've actually felt like he's had a couple good stints over the last few weeks or so.
Sure.
Like, that first half of that Dallas game, I thought he played some of the best just team basketball that I've ever seen him play, just in a system, in a scheme, playing within the offense. But if you just compare the effort that Zeke Nagy gives every time he's out there to Bull Bull, I mean, it's no surprise Zeke Nagy just vaulted him in the rotation like that. I mean, Zeke Nagy, you know what you're getting. You know he's going to go 100% every time. You know he's going to hustle. He might make a dumbass play. He might turn it over, but he's going to give you 100% effort. And, like, that stuff is valuable. That's a valuable skill. Effort's a valuable skill for an end-of-the-bench guy.
I'm such a believer. I'm going full old man here, but I'm such a believer in, like, the situation doesn't have to be perfect for you to succeed in anything. This isn't just basketball.
Right,
the older I get, the more I'm like, life, when you're young, when you're, what is he, 22 years old, yeah. 21, 22, when you're that age, everything, you don't realize how long life is. Yeah. Like, it's really long. I'm only 37, but when I was 22, it felt like, man, this is everything. Yeah. I'm not getting a chance here. This is ruining me, whatever. You wait for the thing to be perfect in life. You never get to take advantage of it. But if you just, like, always just bust your hump every single time, yes, you might get screwed out of an opportunity here. You might get screwed out. But if you do that every single time, eventually you'll break through. And I think it's so true of the most competitive fields in the world, NBA basketball being, like, top of the list. There's only so many players. Like, this is how it is, man. Is it fair that Bol Bol got drafted to a team? Well, maybe it was because everybody else passed up on him. But I'm saying, like, was it fair that he didn't enter a situation that was perfect for him to fail and do this? No, like, he had to, you know, he's had to go through these ups and downs. But we're 3 years into this. He had an opportunity tonight to impress, maybe earn some more minutes. And instead he chose this path and to do that. And it's just, it's so disappointing, man. I honestly don't know if he'll play again.
Yeah, what message are you giving to the team? What message are you giving to those other end of the
I don't even think Malone needs to worry about that. Yeah, because I think the team received the message
themselves.
Yeah,
for sure. But I'm just saying, when you try to defend, or when a guy, like, tries to make a case for themselves, like, I understand that Bol Bol is frustrated. But what message did you give to everyone? That I will give up on you on these type of times. Or also, it's like, I can't play people over you because these are the type of minutes you give. Things aren't going your way and you're pouting. Things aren't going your way and you're giving up on everyone else. I know a lot of this is going to be like, okay, he didn't lose the game, but also he's not sending the right message, and playing him wouldn't be the right message.
Right.
Like, he made an already tough situation even worse.
I'm disappointed in Bol, but I'm also kind of sad for him. I really am. Like, I don't know if he'll get another chance, like, at another team. Like, this is last year in Denver. Maybe another team takes a flyer or a camp invite or this or that, but I don't know that it's going to be the way a lot of the fans, you know, like, fans love Bol. They love the idea of him. I get it. Like, I love the idea of Bol too, man. I want him to exist. But I've just heard too many stories. When this happened tonight, I just am not at all surprised. I've heard too many of these types of stories. And I don't know that you get that many opportunities in this league. A lot of guys think they're getting a lot, and they just disappear. They dry up quick.
The guys who get one opportunity to redeem themselves after another are, you know, lottery picks,
first-round
guys.
Yep.
If you're a second-round guy, if you are an undrafted free agent,
leverage is in the other side of the table.
You get one shot a lot of times. And Bol is so talented, and he's so intriguing, and he's done it in the past at times where he might get another shot just off that alone. But normal second-round picks, this kind of stuff happens. You don't get another shot.
Yeah. We don't have to go in on him too long. It just was a bad, really bad garbage stint. Maybe his worst garbage stint that we've had because of those high trifle.
It was just an exclamation point on a bad night. And when Vogt said that Michael Malone said was so pissed and that there was nothing to take away, knowing Michael Malone like I think I do, I know that really, really ticked him off.
Yeah. All right, let's take our break. On the other side, though, so there are some positives. Zeke Nagy is one of them, and I want to talk, and I'm going to share with you a stat about Zeke Nagy that I think you guys might be interested in, interested to hear.
Make sure to pick up some Mile High City Copper Lager from Breckenridge Brewery this week. Great beer. It's the beer that we drink watching Nuggets games throughout this entire season. We've still got a lot of season left to play. We got a lot of Mile High City Copper Lagers to drink. So make sure to pick some up from Breck Brew. Pick some up from your local liquor store, your local grocery store as well. If you're out at the Breck Brew Farmhouse, check out all the beers that they got on tap there. Check out their food selection as well. If you're local, stop in the DNVR bar. We got tons of Breck Brew options on tap. A beer for definitely everybody. Also, Snooze Sleep, the Snooze Flip. Snooze Sleep hooked us up with a lot of these Snooze Flip mattresses. They're awesome. Customizable, the most universal mattress on the planet. You can customize your sleep experience to fit your needs. One side is soft, one side is firm. You can flip to the side that fits your body best. The cover of the Snooze Flip, also reversible, with one side up to 5 degrees cooler and cozy warm on the other side. So if you like firm, soft, hot, cold, the Snooze Flip, you can totally customize it to fit however you like to sleep.
Can I give you the secret to the Snooze Flip? The adjustable base. The adjustable base. I told you guys about this, right? The base, and it like will raise you like, hey, you want to watch TV in bed or work in your laptop, raise you like this, or put your feet up or do this thing. All these different, and then like it has a little remote. I'm telling you, game changer.
Wow. Well, that adjustable base, you can get $250 off.
It used to be for old people. This used to, do you remember this on TV at night? They had the like... Old people, it's like if you're in a hospital, they have this feature. I'm telling you.
You gotta, I am envisioning a hospital bed right now.
No, but I'm telling you, you get it to your own bed, and all of a sudden you're like, you know what? This is kind of nice.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice. No, it's not. It's really nice.
Yeah. So you get $250 off the custom base, the adjustable base with the code DNVR. You're also going to get $250 off the mattress, too. So $250 off the mattress, $250 off the adjustable base when you use the code DNVR. At snoozesleep.com. Check it out.
All right, we're back here. Let's get into some. let's get. Sorry, something funny on the island. To some positives. I'm going to start with Zeke Nagy.
Okay.
I thought he was very good tonight. I thought Zeke Nagy has been good. He's been knocking down his shots.
Yep. He has been knocking down his shot.
And I even think defensively, like, he makes rotations. He does things well. I honestly have a lot of confidence in Zeke Nagy. What's crazy is, he now has one fewer three-point made this season than Jamichael Green. One. Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
He's played 200 fewer minutes.
That's wild.
Over 200 fewer minutes. And he has one fewer three-pointer.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of goes to show that he understands where to be on the floor. Like, his spacing is there. He has a high IQ. He understands where to be, which is, you know, pretty wild because that's coming from a vet who's been in this league for so long, but is now in a situation that he has to score. And then, you know, Zeke, who's really young and just kind of understands what to do. But you want to talk about a guy understanding his role on the team and understanding how valuable those minutes are. He gets an opportunity. He's going to be up for those opportunities. He's going to try to go after every single rebound. He's going to lock in on whoever he's defending. It doesn't matter who his person is. He's going to try his hardest to be out there. He gets 7 rebounds in this game and knocks down the 3-ball. What more do you need from a guy like that, especially an end-of-the-bench guy? So he really does understand what he's supposed to do in that game, and that's something that you could take away and understand, like, okay, I'm going to play this guy because he's going to give his all.
Knowing your role is, like, half the battle when you're an eighth man, and I don't think Zeke's more than that, at least at this moment, like, eighth, ninth, tenth guy. But he knows his role, and he does it well. And here's the thing, Harrison. His energy on defense is incredible.
Yeah.
He doesn't always – like, he's not that long. You know, he doesn't always get to the spot. He's not that – he's kind of a tweener in that he's not
the smoothest guy either.
I don't care. I actually feel like this serves him because one of the things that sucked about the summer was he was exploring his game. And it's like, fully explored, nothing's there. Like, let's go back to not exploring it. So I actually don't mind that he doesn't have any of that because it's like just nobody expects him to do it. But his energy on defense is consistent. He always plays hard. And, that again, that's half the battle.
Yeah. He can be a star in his role. And that's what you're looking for when you're searching for role players. And the three-point stat, I mean, it speaks to Zeke shooting it pretty well from three this season. And I'm just so happy that we never have to talk about that summer league again. Because he's just done this.
It's officially buried.
Right. We never have to mention it again. Okay. Because
we probably will, though.
We don't have to, though.
What about preseason?
No, we don't have to.
Okay.
Because
Actually don't have to.
Because
have
in to. Two regular seasons now,
that's true.
Which matters.
One and a quarter, but
500% more than any preseason or summer league game, he's knocked down the three. So we never have to speak of that again. But that also speaks to how ice cold Jamichael Green's been from three throughout the year. And he's even been a little hot recently. He had 2 threes against the Suns. He had a 3 tonight.
Right.
So it speaks to both those things.
He's at 22% on the season. Yeah. I actually, it's funny, I debated with my Locked On co-host, Matt Moore, about this. Not on the air, although we'll probably have to do that again. Maybe tomorrow we'll have this debate. But we debated this. We went back and forth about, you know, Jamichael Green, Zeke Nagy, who deserves, quote-unquote, deserves the minutes. And, you know, I wasn't fully in on one side or the other, but I thought, you know, Jamichael Green does need to be evaluated for what he's producing to this team, this or that. I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready to say I just think Zeke is a better player. And Jamichael Green, he misses a lot of defensive assignments. He's kind of too small to be playing the position Denver needs. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we are now, 18 games into the season and he's just not finding
a shot. It's not like we're 5 games into the season.
Correct.
You know,
I actually feel pretty. And Zeke Nagy, by the way, Denver used a first round draft pick on him. It's not like they're not invested in him actually turning out to be good. I think that Zeke Nagy probably deserves an opportunity in this rotation.
See, when you go through deserve versus like who's been, you know, playing better, I think that's where it becomes the battle. When you come to deserve, I think that you're looking at it as Jamichael Green is a veteran and also like familiarity. So like instincts start to kick in. He's seen this before. He knows what to do when the moment's bigger. And then you
but he misses
trust
assignments. This, one of the things about being a veteran player is you don't like make mistakes or this or that. But he's even doing that.
Yeah, I think so. But also, he's playing a lot more minutes. It's not to say that Zeke wouldn't miss those assignments if he's going against other people's starters or if he's playing a lot more minutes. So I think it's really just like him going through the motions. But also, like on the flip side of that, Zeke Nagy's only going to learn if he plays a lot more.
Right.
You could only trust him if he's playing those type of minutes, and we've seen how good he's played alongside Jokic. Everybody looks better alongside Jokic. So these are like learning type of things. So I think it's just really just like this is a guy that has the time. This is a guy that hasn't done it or seen, we haven't seen it yet. But I'm starting to flip on that side as well.
So you're not there?
I'm not there quite yet. But I'm starting to get there.
Do you have confidence if Zeke Nagy, let's say Jamichael Green, we find out he's out for five games. Do you have confidence Zeke Nagy would do as good of a job if he stepped into that role as J. Mike would have?
Absolutely.
Done? Okay.
Especially in a regular season. Yeah. I think it really does matter. Yeah, also, I think that's the only way that you'll learn, really. That's the only way that he could get there.
I'm not sure either guy's in the playoffs, though, to be honest with you. That's why I said eighth, ninth, tenth guy, because they're maybe every now and situationally in a playoff
game. Look, I think it'd be a different conversation if the Nuggets were, you know, not 9-9. But they're a 500 team right now, and the bench has looked like shit all season.
Yeah.
It just is what it is, man. So,
what side are you arguing here?
Zeke Nagy.
Okay.
If the Nuggets were at the top of the West and winning, and the bench looked solid, and Jamichael Green was looking good, you know, this really wouldn't be a conversation because you just always give those minutes to the vet, no matter how good Zeke Nagy looks.
Yeah.
But Nuggets are a 500 team right now. They're in the play-in. They need some energy. They need some new. They need some spirit. They need some fire, and Zeke can bring that. So I think he deserves some minutes.
You also think about it. It's funny, man, talking to George Karl now so much and doing that show with him because he really just hates young players. I mean, you talk about a coach that doesn't like young players. George Karl really, really doesn't see him. And you look at a player like a Bones High, like Denver's young players that could be assets that you say, okay, what's there to trade? You really look at, outside of your big star players, you look at Bones Highland, you look at Zeke Nagy. If Denver ever wanted to upgrade and say, hey, let's try to get one more veteran piece that fits our routine, part of our top six or seven, like who is that? One or both of those guys are guys you'd have to get. And right now, Zeke Nagy has no value. I think he would, though. I mean, he shoots like 50% from three right now. Yep. I think he would if you played him another 30, 40 games. So either he's a piece of the team and it's like, hey, it's a cheap contract for another 2 years. Or it's a, we didn't want to have to do this. He's our eighth guy. But it just netted us a player that's like, hey, you know, this is actually a guy we could really use. And this team's ready to fold and throw players
out. I mean,
out.
One of the issues I think I've had with just the construction of this team and how just things have gone is the end of the Nuggets bench is like a little unplayable.
Right.
You know, like, maybe not unplayable. Some of those guys are, like, Marcus Howard, Bull. But some of those guys just also haven't played, so you just can't really trust them. Vlatko.
Denver does have, I think, too many of those guys.
Right.
You probably need two guys backs per roster that are, like, projects, whatever.
And Zeke was, so far this season, has been kind of flirting in that territory.
Yeah.
He's got to jump over to the side of, okay, we trust this guy if we need to put him into the rotation.
Right.
And the only way you get there is by playing.
Another guy, you know, it's funny we haven't hit Jeff Green yet because I want to hit Aaron Gordon, who is just, I tweeted about him a lot tonight because I'm so impressed with him. I'm so impressed with what he's done in Jokic's absence. Just getting to the cup, just constantly putting his head down and trying to go to the basket and, you know, his handle's not very tight. There's parts of his games that I think are very frustrating. I think part of why I'm so enamored with him as a player is where I have him. Like, he's way better as a fourth or fifth scorer than I thought. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he's really good at getting to the basket. He puts his head down. He's a mismatch. He's smart. He knows how to do these different things. He guards. He can do so. I'm just so impressed with him, and he's one, for me, one, like, really bright spot. Even though he was only 5 of 9 tonight, 11 points, I look at some of those things, and I go, Denver needs this version of him all the time. When Yoke comes back, when Porter comes back, when Murray comes back, when they have all these guys, if he can attack that way, no team has somebody that can guard Yoke, Murray, Barton, and Aaron Gordon if he's attacking, and Michael Porter on the perimeter. Like, there's something there, and that I'm seeing it more this season, and I'm really seeing it more over the last 2 weeks than I've saw at any point last year.
Yeah, what I love most about Aaron Gordon right now is that his game is just adapting. Like, at different and key parts of the game, they need him to do things, and he does them. Right now, his game has evolved. First, he was shooting three-pointers. Now he's getting to the rim because they need more of it. Now he's creating mismatches. It's not even like he's seeking them out. He just knows when he has a mismatch, and he's just so strong. He's also, like, an incredible defender. And he's also, his confidence is just seeming to grow. Even though the losses are starting to compile, he's still, like, playing at a really high level. And when Jokic gets back, if we could get this component of him and just this, like, him playing at this high level, that's just going to be a duo that actually, like, is just – it was already good, but it's just going to reach higher levels.
The other guy that deserves a big shout-out is Jeff Green, 24 points tonight. You know, plus-minus isn't great. 35 minutes, he's minus 22, which is second worst on the team. But 24 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 block shots, 9 of 16, including 3 of 4 from 3. Easily the king of the game tonight. I mean, that's a –
yeah, the DraftKings king of the game.
I just DraftKings king of the game, man. Very easily the DraftKings king of the game.
There weren't a lot of choices in my grades.
You're giving him an A.
Yeah. Look, I was looking up Jeff Green's game logs from last year because I was like, how many times did he score 23, 24 points? He didn't score 24 last year, but he scored 23 a couple times. Scored 22, scored 21. It's like, he scored the ball last year. And people were getting on Jeff Green earlier in this season. Really,
well,
for his
people were. I like it.
No, I mean,
he's doing it. I was.
No,
and honestly,
I was. Yeah.
His energy level is still. He's got the Wilson Chandler speed to him.
Right, but he had the energy level I thought of like a 13-year vet who was in the first month of the season.
Yeah.
And.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure.
And, like, we could criticize him for that because it was really bad at times. But he could still score. He can still hit from the mid-range. He can step up and be an offensive focal point when you're down this many guys.
Well, we got podium game, second game in a row, we heard from Jeff Green tonight.
He's kind of the face of the Nuggets lately, to be honest.
No kidding.
Who was the face of the Nuggets? Wasn't Barton tonight. Barton, we'll talk about him later. He was really bad tonight.
Yeah, you know what's funny, though? You go back, you see his box score, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. He did turn it over 4 times, but... it's kind of the seeming passivity and the hesitancy on the drive,
but
the turnovers.
It's funny, man. Minus 24 also sticks out quite a bit.
Sure, but I mean, individual plus minus. Yeah,
he just didn't look like he had a lot of aggression to him tonight.
He did not look like he wanted to drive the ball, which is.
I mean, he didn't take a shot. I don't think in his first stint, or he took one. I don't remember.
And then 3 of 6 from 3 ends up buoying his night. But like, yeah, he looked really tentative on the drive, which is curious because you know he was not on that injury report.
That's the thing about this is one. I mean, I guess Denver could, like, if he was injured, just sit him too and be like, we're probably not going to win these games anyway. Right. Lost by 19 tonight, and maybe just rest everyone. But then I also wondered, I wonder if there is, like, because he's missed so much time lately, I wondered if there was, like, it wasn't reported, but I wondered if there was a games played clause in his contract. Because he looked to me like a guy that could have used a night off tonight.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they just felt like it was a winnable game. Like you said, Malone loves those division games.
We talk about these games as if they're not winnable, but those guys always believe
always
they're winnable. Like,
way.
Yeah, they do not have our perspective.
Especially
that's why they're NBA players.
Yeah. 5-point game in the first half or whatever it was at one point. Yeah, the Nuggets led at one point. Anyway, Jeff Green, what was the message tonight? Quote, we can't allow teams to outplay us at this point. I think meaning effort, hustle. With all the bodies we have gone, it's going to be a collective effort that we have to maintain throughout the game.
Hmm.
On the second quarter run, and was ultimately another talk in the locker room after the game, quote, some guys stepped up and said their piece, and then we move forward.
Who do we think stepped up and said
it happened.
Something.
We've got to put this game behind us. We've got to collect our mentals. There was a follow-up. Is it hard to collect your mentals right now, given these injuries just keep piling up? Jeff Green says no. As pros, we have a job to do, regardless of who is on the floor. On PJ Dozier, he's bummed. He's just bummed. He's mad he got hurt. We also spoke with Monte Morris tonight.
God, I feel so bad for PJ Dozier.
Monte Morris was emphatic.
Yeah, me too.
Monte Morris spoke. It was probably a different tone that I've heard from Monte than I've heard all year.
Interesting.
We just got to be tougher. Nobody is going to feel sorry for us. We have enough talent to compete. We just have to be tougher. We're getting punked out there. That's not who we are. We ever have been. It's not fun getting beat 20 plus. Motherfuckers putting it between their legs. It's embarrassing right now. That's the
other part of this bull. I don't have to go back to it, but is the other part of it is like a guy going through the legs. It is a thing where you're kind of like, hey man, they're putting it on.
Yeah.
They're putting
it's like
it on
a
right
dunk
now.
Contest
not
out there.
Let them do it. This is kind of, we're all having fun here, right?
That's
no,
what Dev
man.
Said earlier. It's like an all-star game. Yeah, that's what it felt like. That play.
Yeah. So those were, you know, a bunch of different quotes, a couple of ellipses in there, spliced it all together. But that was basically the highlight reel of Monte's multiple responses, in which he seems a little fed up too. I think they're sort of I think they all had the same perspective on this one. They didn't want to just chalk it up to being shorthanded. They felt like they could have played better. On PJ, Monte says, "We don't know anything, but it just sucks right now." Everyone kind of embraced him in the locker room because you never know what someone is going on through on or off the court. Prayers for PJ. He's a really, really good friend of mine. And then just for what it's worth, he agreed with Malone's major takeaways that they just keep going away from what works. In all these games, we can highlight little stretches where, wow, they're making a run. Oh, wow, they grabbed the lead. And, you know, whatever it seemed to be working for them in those runs, they abandoned it a little bit. So that's sort of where they're at right now is like, hey, if something's working, we don't have to go away from that. But this was not the Orange Slices moral victory presser tonight. Yep. No way.
Do you mean morale victory?
Whatever, dude.
Whatever, dude.
They used to say there's no dumb questions, but every time I ask a question, everyone looks at me like a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I just don't ask them.
Yeah, that's a good. I gotta just stop talking.
Let's take a break. On the other side, we can kind of wrap up with some final thoughts before we get into Thanksgiving. Answer a couple super chats and
go
a few
home.
Days. Take a couple of much needed days off. Yeah. From the Denver Nuggets.
This is a new sponsor of ours, guys. Saturday Neon. SaturdayNeon.com. What this company is they design and manufacture officially licensed collegiate logo LED neon signs. So just envision like a sign in a bar, like Bud Light, Coors Light. But these are really well done, huge signs of your college logo, your college mascot.
They're massive.
Yeah, we have the CSU and CU ones here in the office. They're massive. They're really cool, super well done. It's a Denver-based company, locally owned and operated. Free shipping with them as well. Kind of customizable. You get like a dimmer remote with them as well. Easy to mount. They look awesome anywhere in your man cave. Throw one in your kitchen, see if your wife or girlfriend says anything. Don't tell them I said
they
that.
They probably won't notice.
Yeah. But great Christmas gift idea as well. So SaturdayNeon.com, use code DNVR10 for 10% off this purchase. Great idea for a Christmas gift for a big college sports fan if you're looking for a gift for one of those people. This week on DraftKings, of course, Thanksgiving. Be thankful for free bets on Thanksgiving. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has a Turkey Day no-brainer that you can't miss. New customers, you can bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. All DraftKings customers can also get in on the new same-game parlay offers. NBA, NFL, get in on those same-game parlays. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR. Bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game. Win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. Promo code DNVR this Thanksgiving at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call
1-800-522-4700.
Finally, Hassle Cattle Company. Right now, might be a little too late to order meat for Thanksgiving.
But too late for Christmas.
But not too late for Christmas.
Or Hanukkah.
Or Hanukkah.
You guys hear that? It's the holiday beef train coming.
The holiday beef train.
You can still use the code DNVR15 to get 15% off your entire order at HassleCattleCompany.com. For Christmas, for whatever holiday you're celebrating, order up. HassleCattleCompany.com. They've got all you could want. Use the code DNVR15 to get 15% off your entire order. Pull together with a couple friends, spend over $200, get free shipping as well.
I'm telling you guys, do it.
Do it.
Use code DNVR15 for 15% off your purchase from HassleCattleCompany.com.
Do it. Do it.
You guys see the stat I put out? I was waiting. I had this one all lined up and ready to go. Nuggets are 9-9. They're plus 120 with Jokic on the court, minus 123 with him off.
Yeah.
Not wild?
It would be wild if we hadn't watched every second.
It's actually not wild because I've watched every minute of those.
Here's the thing. They have still played more minutes with Jokic than without.
All that,
and yet they've gotten outscored more without him.
Do you think Jokic's watching this game being like, oh man, I can't wait to get back and for us to start winning again? Or is he watching and being like, what am I walking into?
Oh, God.
What those numbers tell you, though, is literally what an MVP is. Yeah. That's literally all it is. If a guy is out and their team literally can't get anything done, and then he comes back and they like are together or they're playing really good basketball, that's MVP.
Yeah.
One of the crazy things, so Jokic is 11th in overall plus minus, which is just insane because he's only played 14 games. Almost everybody ahead of him is 17 or 18 games. Mm-hmm. Draymond Green is on the 15-2 Warriors. He has one, his plus minus is one higher. He has one plus 121. They're 15-2.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild? I mean, he's got Steph, that helps, but it's still
it
crazy.
It must be nice to have a bench.
It must be nice, man. It must be nice. Let's hit some super chats.
Let's please. Do it.
What do we got?
Please. Super unless chat, Smuggets is in there. Chat, literally do not.
Sean says, some of the fan base is clearly new to Nug Life.
Or has been here too long.
We have the best player on the planet. Positive vibes, people. I will tell you, I've said this so many times. I'm such a believer in Nug Life, L-I-F-E, not L-Y-F-E.
Me too. I'm
with
you
on
that one?
So.
You know what you can't do? You can't write an article and write Nug Life with a Y.
You just can't do it?
You just can't do it.
How do you know?
I love that you could say Nug Life is fine, as long as it has the appropriate.
That's right. Yeah. What is it?
What language is it? Is it Welsh that uses the Y? Is it? Do you guys know?
Dude, think about who you're asking.
What's that?
Think about who you're asking.
Sorry, I'll ask over here.
It is, I don't know.
Where the Y becomes, you know what I mean? Is it, no? I thought.
The Y becomes, like, the double L's become a Y in Spanish, but that's not what you're talking about.
And if you put a 4 where the Y is, then it would be Ebonics.
I'm glad you made that joke.
Thank you. Thank you. Like, Vote was going to make it. All right, what else we got here? Gene says, here's to our first season as the season doesn't start until Christmas, teams.
Well, really, the season doesn't start until February 23rd. That's when Jamal Murray's coming back.
You know what's funny about that? Like, here's the thing. Last year, this kind of happened. When they got off to that such slow start, Malone freaked out, and, like, the whole rest of the season was just intense, right? I do wonder. They're in the play-in.
Play-in, baby?
No, but I'm saying they're in the play-in. That's uncomfortable. I don't want to be in the play-in. And I know they're going to feel this way, so I kind of agree with you, but I don't know, man. I'd rather at least be in that sixth seed. I don't want to play the play-in.
Oh, I definitely don't want to play that.
Me either. I mean, look. Once Jokic comes back, we can probably set our sights a little higher than play-in.
We probably could.
But
if the Nuggets win Friday at home with
against
Jokic
the Bucks
against his brother Giannis.
His brother.
Yo.
The vibes will be a lot better.
You're not going to be. We're not going to have it. Oh man, we need somebody
I'm not
at
be
the.
There
we're not, he's just not going to be there. We need someone at the arena. Just
said
kind
yeah, here.
Constantly,
Kale,
waiting for
the.
See, are these guys talking? Remember the Katie
the Nico
Kyrie
and Giannis show?
Yeah, Katie and Kyrie in the tunnel. Just kind of like, hey man, remember we're going to do this. We need somebody there.
Yeah,
can't believe we're already here on Giannis watch. Jack Bailey. Oh god, do I have to? All right, here.
Is it the poem? There's not much rhymes I can say. But I guarantee Bol Bol is not having a good day. Losing keeps me sigh. And non-munders keep making me cry.
Amen.
That was one of your better written ones, Jack.
That was a really good one.
Oh, Zach's getting better, boy.
You're crediting him. I'm like judging him over here. What grade would you give him tonight? Is he on the grade?
Yeah. B plus on that poem
B-plus.
Tonight,
there
Jack.
That's like the second highest grade you'll give out tonight.
Yeah, it fucking is.
The Munders, man. I'm so bummed. that we have the Munder bet now, and my confidence level in a Munder is so low.
DraftKings made some money tonight. They at least got $2
one bet and on 50
that.
Cents out of me, man.
You're yeah. welcome.
It was like
DK.
Third quarter.
They're like, let's run it back.
Yeah, let's run it back. This is great. Everybody just gives me
Who's
money.
Who's this idiot that keeps betting
it
on
would be
this?
So. It would be so appropriate for the Nuggets to get all these Munders, get the Munder bet, and never get it again.
Yeah.
I mean, too
well, they're probably not going to get it against the Bucks.
Josh just Let's says, thoughts on trading for Terrence Ross?
Sure, whatever.
I don't have thoughts
Is
on
Bowl
that.
In the trade?
Are we trading somebody else to the Magic?
I was going to say, man, in hindsight, RJ Hampton, Gary Harris, it is a crazy trade. This is why, though, we were talking about Zeke Nagy, and what do? You know, RJ Hampton kind of played the perfect amount of minutes for the Nuggets last year, where he got showcased just enough
to showcase your talent, but not enough to see that you might be a fraud.
Right. I'm not saying RJ's a fraud. He's still my guy. Either. Still that my guy, true. Man.
But the Magic Gary come to town hand. In a couple games. Potential
no,
showcase.
No, Denver goes to Orlando in a couple games.
Oh, that's right.
Nobody comes to Denver
Maybe a showcase
Milwaukee.
Game for Terrence Ross.
AJ Walker says, this is the second game in a row where Barton has looked kind of passive. Is it possible the groin injury is bothering him? Also, love the show, guys. Thanks, AJ.
The only thing is I thought he looked that way in the last game as well prior to the injury. Now, this one was a little different. This one, it looked like he wasn't afraid to shoot, but he was afraid to drive.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not hurt, but he's afraid of getting hurt. You know what I mean?
Or maybe he's just recognizing when he just doesn't have it.
I think that's part of it as well. I mean, look, the turnovers tonight really mar it, but 8 rebounds, 7 assists is actually a pretty good. You talked about him as maybe being an assist man tonight, and he
was. Yeah, he was.
It's just the assists that really bogged it down. But
I'm telling you, my parlay was a good parlay. You guys would all
see. To the point of the question, next time we see him play, I think you really do hope to see him look aggressive and confident when driving. Otherwise, I'm going to be a touch concerned.
Yeah. I'll definitely say I'm a little concerned. But again, I want to see him when somebody gets back. Anybody gets back.
Yeah.
Ray says, nights like this, being a fan is hard. It's always what makes being a fan all the more worthwhile when things go right. Ray, that's why you're the king. That's why you're the king of the chat,
the
man. I'm telling you, like, we don't feel it now. We don't recognize it now. But we are blessed with an opportunity to root for an underdog. It's not easy. We always have to go through these type of moments. This is kind of a real low, though, honestly, of the Yoke era. Like, we haven't been down this bad for a while. But, again, anything worth doing is going to be incredibly hard. We always knew Nuggets, if they ever climbed the mountain to the top, it was going to be hard as hell. This is another chapter.
It's extra hard.
Extra hard. This is a, it's a tough chapter. Tough chapter in the story. This is when you're watching a movie, especially if it's like an action movie. You know, there's the one scene where it's like, how do they get out of this?
Right.
They're trapped in the car and it's sinking and there's sharks. And like, there's no way they can get out of this. This is the scene the Nuggets are in right now. It's like, oh my gosh, they're in a hole. They just have to dig their way out.
Yeah.
I think that's like every scene in the Mission Impossible series.
It's actually the whole movie. It actually is sub-series.
It's just the whole thing.
But he's on top of the plane. How could he possibly
And then Tom Cruise just comes out of nowhere and saves the day.
He'll jump
like
out of
Nikola
the helicopter.
Like Nikola Jokic will on Friday.
There we go.
Wow, Jokic is Tom Cruise, huh?
We got nothing.
This doesn't feel good.
We got nothing.
We hope everybody enjoys their Thanksgiving holiday. We hope you guys, if you're interested in the Colorado Rapids, we just did a Rapids show tonight. I thought was really cool. Brought some people in from around the Rapids community. They play on Thursday, as Michael Malone would let you know.
Yeah, big Rapids guy.
Big Rapids guy.
He big soccer
good.
Guy.
He looks good in his Rapids jersey, you know? Yeah, big soccer guy.
Yeah. He says he grew up playing soccer, Malone did.
Yeah, dude, I did too. First through fifth grade.
I did too. Yeah.
Every kid plays soccer. That's like what the I mean. One sport every kid can be in. Yeah.
You know what? I played for a team called the Rainbow Falcons, and we had like rainbow armpit wings. Looked distressingly like the current Nuggets.
Really? You had panels?
They had the little rainbow falcons coming this. Down. It was the
Your parents have a photo
seen.
Of this, don't they?
Yeah, probably.
Can you get it? Find one for
I was the middle child, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
My family swears that I played soccer. I went to a
swears that I did.
They swear I did. So I went to Skate City. It was like a birthday party.
Yeah.
There was a they had like what is it called? Where they give the trophies out. Well, I stole one of the trophies, and it was the MVP's trophy. So I brought that home, and it was in my little trophy case. And
that's all it was.
Everybody swears that I played soccer
because of that one trophy.
And
you know the truth.
I know what I did.
It's a trophy you stole from Skate City.
Yes.
Wow.
Skate City was a banger, soccer, man, back in the soccer. Day. Skate City, man, that was where it was at. Are you guys too young for Skate City?
No, of course I remember Skate
City. Can I go
City.
Home? What are
did
we talking
skate
about?
City? Did you used to Skate City?
I don't know what that means.
You do?
Okay, well, that doesn't surprise me, actually.
Skate City. That's true. All right, everybody. Have a great Thanksgiving. Adios.
At Hassle Cattle Company this Thanksgiving, turkey is out, beef is in. Hassle Cattle is giving our amazing listeners a holiday special with 15% off your entire purchase at hasslecattlecompany.com. Use the code DNVR15 at hasslecattlecompany.com. Get 15% off your entire purchase. There's nothing better than delicious Wagyu beef as a holiday gift. Serve this up for Thanksgiving. Treat your guests right. Or you can send this to family and friends for a unique and unforgettable Christmas gift. It will definitely be unforgettable. Use the code DNVR15 at checkout at hasslecattlecompany.com for 15% off your entire order. Also, if you order over $200 in Hassle Cattle Company, you're going to get free shipping. Again, that's code DNVR15 at hasslecattlecompany.com. They've got the best Wagyu beef around. They've got everything from smoked sausage to New York strip to bacon to Wagyu Franks. They've got everything. Use the code DNVR15 for 15% off your order at hasslecattlecompany.com.